everybody, welcome to the Bookshelf and Beyond. My name is Harjis, and in this show I'll be discussing books to everything else. So today I want to thank all my viewers all over the world who have listened to my podcast episodes all over the United States and Germany, India, Canada, Belgium, Russia, Indonesia, South Africa. Yeah, thank you everybody for listening to all of my episodes. I really appreciate it. I hope you like listening to it, and I hope you guys keep listening to it. So thank you. Okay, so today I have a special guest, my wonderful mom, Hardeep Kaur.
Hey, this is Hardeep.
So today we're going to talk about The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill. Ooh. So, Mom, when did you first read this book?
So I read this a couple of years ago, I think, and it was, I don't know where I first saw it, but it just something about the cover just drew me to it. I used to read a lot when I was younger, and then I haven't read in such a long time, and for some reason I just picked up this book and I read it, and I read it all the way through. And I fell in love with it so much, I kept recommending it to everybody, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you know, this is like a young adult's book. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really feel like it's a book that's specifically made for kids. I feel like anybody from all ages would enjoy reading this. And it has so much to teach, like the themes in it, the characters in it. It really resonated with me.
That's nice. I've read this book and I really love it too. So how much do you think you would rate it out of 10?
10 out of 10, definitely.
So what are some things that really stick with you?
Just the characters. Sisters of the Star, and they're the guard in the protectorate that protected. And in the beginning of the story, as it goes, I was assuming all the people in government, the supporters of the elder, were all kind of in on it. Mm-hmm. But I was really surprised when the sisters kind of were kind of leading a separate rebellion, kind of against the elder and against the system that was separate from the main characters' struggles. So that was really kind of like something different, and there was this concept in the story of the Sorrow Eater, which she was the head of the jail,
speaking
right?
Speaking of how the sisters, like, remember that one phrase that they said, "The cat's away and the mice shall play, and there's much that a mouse can do after all."
Yeah, I loved that so much. So the cat they were using as a code word for the Sorrow Eater, which was kind of the head of the prison system where they kept people who kind of disagreed with the...
Okay, sorry, she was tickling me.
Okay. Yeah, so there's this concept of this person who kind of feeds on other people's sadness. Mm-hmm. And it gives her energy, it gives her power, and she's this like old kind of magical creature, witch being that kind of takes this shape and kind of just lives on people's sorrow.
This book has a lot of magic, it has a lot of hidden deep meaning to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good themes in this book. So like good versus evil, friendship, family, love, and there's a lot of themes. And so I really like how they had different stories for the characters. It was so complex, and so they had one about there was a bunch of main characters like Luna, Glurk, Zan, the Grand Elder, and how do you say his name?
Antonin.
Anton, I don't know. Oh, sorry if I say it wrong. The sister, what's her name?
Ignata, and then the Sisters of the Star.
The tiny dragon.
Tiny dragon.
What's his name again? Farron.
Ferrari or something like that. Farrier? I don't know. I have to look through the book.
I can't really like pronounce. I don't really know. So yeah, those were all main characters. I like I'm gonna just call him A. Okay, mm-hmm. A. I liked it. His chapters too. And it was cool how they had this whole thing about like the bog and how and the poet. What Glurk was talking about.
Yeah, so the Glurk is always quoting the poet. Like, oh, the poet said this, and he's like this timeless beast that's kind of like lives in the bog with the witch. And it's kind of really cool, the kind of the things he says. He's kind of like a philosopher, and it's nice.
I also really like how they do, like, how magic is everywhere.
Right.
You know, how the mad woman, she was in there and she created paper out of thin air. She dreamed of paper and it happened. And so it really talks about how magic is everywhere inside of you. You know?
Yeah. So the mad woman is this character. So I guess we could like do a little kind of description of the book. So in this book, there's this society that lives kind of in the middle of this forest that's like that's controlled by like the elder and everything. And they have this false narrative, this story where each year at some point they take whoever the youngest born child is, and then they leave the child in the woods as a sacrifice. And the from the witch, so the witch would not like bother them, right? So everybody in the society believes this, that they have to make this sacrifice to keep everyone else safe. But it's just a whole lie, you know. The witch that's supposed to be taking the child is actually like a
nice.
It's actually nice and helping
so
the kids.
She delivers the star children to the cities away from the forest. She feeds them the stars. And
as like energy, like her mother, I guess, because they're separated from their mothers, like to nourish them, and then other people all over the world kind of like adopt them.
Yes, but the real witch is the Sorrow Eater Sister Ignita. Oh, Pula. What was her name again?
Sister Ignita? Ignata? I know. The character names are really important and they're kind of cool, but we keep messing that up.
She's the actual witch. She feeds on the sorrow. The sorrow eater, that's like a really cool how the author made that up. It feeds on sorrow,
because I mean, kind of like, you know, people like that kind of exist. They're not like, you know, like magical beings or something like that, but sometimes people get into the habit of feeding on sorrow, of like of drama or things, and they just want to like the more like drama or sorrow or negative energies
other
or
people
a
feel.
Negative feel, and they get energy from them to be like, oh yeah, at least I'm not whatever, like, my problem is not as bad as that person's problem,
And
that's kind of like, I think it's not that habit of doing that, that mindset is sometimes not really that great.
Yeah, they push all their sorrow deep in there, and then they feed from other people's sorrow. Because, like, you know how the sorrow eater, she had, she pushed all her sorrow, she hid it away, and then, so then, when, what's the main character's name again?
Luna,
she broke the shell, and then she remembered all her sorrow because she kept pushing it away and then kept thinking about other people's like making herself feel better feeding on other people's sorrow.
She was like, she was enjoying it, like kind of like an energy vampire type, like she was. That's what gave her power as a witch.
So why, like, how is it, is this book like special to you, like
I mean, it's special to me in the sense that I started reading after a long time, and this is one of the first books I read. Another one was like a patient assassin, and one of them was this one, The Girl Who Drank the Moon. And I really just like that idea, like, you know how there's sometimes you things don't occur to you until somebody else says it, or the way they kind of articulate it, and the way this author kind of spoke about these themes kind of really like clicked, right? Like it was like a light bulb type of a thing. And then going back to the mad woman, so her child was taken from her, but she didn't, like other people, make peace with it. She continued to fight, and wanted her child back, and tried to escape from prison. And from her like deep devotion and loyalty to her child, which was Luna, she like developed these magical abilities, and then she at one point, there's this great scene in there where she makes these paper cranes, and these paper cranes are like can attack and like, you know.
So,
I don't know who were they attacked, the elder or the
sisters?
No,
the Anton.
Oh, Antonin. He went there to visit her.
He's the nephew of the grand elder, Elder Gerland. And so he doesn't know what is right. He was there when Luna was put down there, and he can't process the seeing that mad woman like fighting like that. So he stops, and he becomes like no, what happened? I forgot. Sorry.
To Antonin?
Yeah, he visited the mad woman one time, and the mad woman's like paper birds attacked him and leave this huge scar
on his face.
Yeah. And so since then after that, he dropped, he wasn't an elder anymore, and worked on what he actually liked, the
woodworking.
And he tried to slay the witch, because his child was the next one to be put over there.
Yeah, and that's when they kind of, I think, discovered that this whole facade of like this bad witch in the world who takes kids away, that it was something that the protectorate or the elders created, right? So what about you? What did you like about the book so much?
Well, I really like the lessons that it share, like, well, yeah, I like the lessons.
Mm-hmm. Like which ones?
I liked,
come you can't think of any at the moment.
Well, I really liked
how did it make you feel, like, when you were reading it, like the stories?
Well,
You can't think of
it. I'm trying to sound all professional, but I don't really know what to say.
But how about Luna? Like, I know you like magic a lot, and you wish you
We haven't really talked about like Luna.
Yeah,
and,
because she's
Sam.
One of the main characters.
Yeah. So she like has flashbacks in her mind about that she like knows, she sees them. She draws them when she doesn't pay attention. She draws them. She draws her mom. She draws
her
dad.
She must have been like a little baby when they took her, but she's still. Remembers being a little baby.
Zan, the witch who takes the babies, she adopted her because instead of giving her starlight, she gave her moonlight, which gave her magic. And
so that's where the title comes from, the girl who drank the moon. So apparently Zan, the witch, like when she's taking care of the babies to take them to be adopted, she feeds them kind of like milk bottles, kind of feeds them like energy from the stars. And when she was taking Luna, by mistake, she fed her energy from the moon and a lot of it, and then she became really magical. And Zan decided not to give her up for adoption. She decided to raise her herself.
Yeah. So then she like put all the magic inside of her until her 11th birthday would all burst out and Zan would die. So what about
Zan would die?
Zan would die. Yeah, she died.
Oh, really? I don't remember that part
so
of the story.
When she died, she and Glurk left to go back to the bog.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Which was the here's the poems a Glurk left behind. The heart is built of starlight. and time, the pinprick of longing lost in the dark, an unbroken cord lingering in the infinite to infinite. My heart wishes upon your heart, and the wish is granted. Meanwhile, the world spins. Meanwhile, the universe expands. Meanwhile, the mystery of love reveals itself again and again in the mystery of you. I have gone. I will return. Glurk.
Yeah. So what else about this book do you think we should mention and talk about? I know, I mean, like from our discussion, it's really kind of hard to tell what the book, the storyline's about. And I really think people should read it themselves and they would really love it.
Yeah. So.
But the themes of like, you know, unconditional love, a friendship, but that's
the,
really kind of...
The dragon...
the little dragon.
So when Zan was little, she was in magic too. And the Sorrow Eater used to live in the castle when all the wizards and witches took her into this castle. She's like really, really old. And she would feed on her sorrow of her parents and her dad. And her mentor raised her. And one day, there's a volcano that poisons the bogs and stuff. And it erupted. And the Sorrow Eater was just actually the witch, the evil one. She left all the wizards and witches behind and stuff. So the dragon's mom and... Zan's mentor jumped into a volcano or something.
Yeah, to stop it.
Stopped it. So, what's his name?
Baby dragon. We're just going to call him the tiny dragon.
Tiny dragon. Mm-hmm. He was thought that he was a big dragon, but he's actually tiny. And Zan keeps telling him that he's in the world of giants. So then he finally figures out, but actually he starts growing. I don't know why does he start growing when he leaves? Why does
he? I don't remember. I need to reread this book again because I read it a long time ago, and it's definitely a book that you can reread a lot of times. But the most the biggest things I remember from it is just that concept of the Sorrow Eater. You know, the paper attack scene, and then kind of what Luna's journey to find her mother, and Antoine's journey to kind of like break away from the
protect
and the
not.
Elders protect
not.
He's a protect not. This is a protectorate or something. Yeah, that's about it, I think. I mean,
17 minutes.
Come on.
This book has also got John Newbery Medal for the most distinguished contribution to American literature for children.
Yeah.
Impossible to put down.
So she also wrote The Witch's Boy. I wonder if that's... We should read that book. It's probably...
Mom keeps making weird symbols.
I was going to say, you're not going to do the ending now.
Okay, I feel like I have something else I wanted to talk about. Can you give me a minute?
Sure. Me and Sukuni can give you a minute. Sukuni, you want to... come in for a special takeover?
Yeah.
Ask me 3 questions.
We don't have a timer.
Just ask me the questions.
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Hardi.
Okay.
That's all you can think of? Like on the... Now you had your moment. You had your moment, Sukmani.
What? Ooh, should I read the story of the... tell them the story of the bog? You know,
I think it's too long.
I just want to talk about everything all at once, but I think you would like it more if you read it yourself.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Because right now we're just rambling.
So highly recommend.
So I'll write this on the episode too. Before you watch this episode, read The Girl Who Drank the Moon.
Or don't. Just listen to us. I mean, there's nothing in there that's a spoiler.
Excuse me, there's so many spoilers. Okay. Well, guess what? I can walk really good now on my foot. It still hurts a little bit. And tomorrow, I'm going to meet the teachers for middle school, and I'm really excited. I think all of you guys are listening are probably maybe starting school. I don't really know. Okay, then. Well, that's it for the Bookshelf and Beyond. My name is Harjis.
And this is Hardeep.
And this is Sukhmani.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye. That's not how you, the button.